resources are whatever's the underlying thing in the system that we want access to, that we're protected with the law. Now, how do we avoid, or sorry, what has to come together? Right? What are the ingredients, if you will, for that? So, first thing is we have to have something that we care about sharing in a way. Right? And ideally it's mutually exclusively shared, meaning that only one thing gets access at a time. So that's where our contention point can be. Now, we also need for a thread to decide, okay, I have access to this resource, I'm going to hold on to access until I can do something else. That's the waiting. Now, if we could just interrupt that, right? So something takes a lock, it's holding the resource, it's holding it for too long, and then we preempt it. Say, sorry, we have to give that back. Well, then we could avoid this problem. So if we don't have it, and we want exclusion, and things are allowed to hold access to these resources, and there's some scenario where something's waiting for something, something else is waiting for something else, they both have it, and both things wait for it. All those pieces come together, deadline. It might be helpful for today to have sort of a running example. And I was thinking about this. So what's a recipe you might make or you might cook? Yeah. Cereal. Okay. What's another recipe that you might make? No. Cereal's good. Yeah. Lasagna. Could it be like Fruity Pebbles lasagna? Okay, all right. So let's say we're trying to make, let's say there's two people, right? So you and a friend are in the kitchen, you're trying to make cereal, and your friend's trying to make Fruity Pebbles lasagna. Okay, so what can go wrong? So you decide, okay, well, to make my cereal, I need milk. So I take the milk. Your friend decides, well, to make Fruity Pebbles lasagna, I'm going to make Fruity Pebbles. They take the Fruity Pebbles. Then what happens? How do you make your cereal? You wait for them to finish the Fruity Pebbles, right? But they need milk to make their lasagna, too. They're waiting for you to finish the milk. You haven't used the milk because you're waiting on the Fruity Pebbles. What is that? What situation are we in? this always happen? Deadlock always happen? No. Right, because we need that interleaving to have happened at sort of the wrong time. So what that means is if you run a small test, you might be able to run that test 100 times, 1,000 times, and never have any. Right, so that's why this problem becomes very tricky. It's only going to happen occasionally. It's going to be very frustrating when it happens. So that's my point. All right. So what do we do about it? Right? I mean, how do we avoid this? How can we program our systems and our programs and write them in a way that we don't run into this? Yeah. So the answer is D. Right? So if they're separated enough, this won't happen. It's only when they can. Alright, so what do we do about it? So we have a couple options. So first is, so what happens, like, if we get to this pthread mutex lock, and this lock is taken? This function just doesn't. It's not going to crash, right? I mean, the system has, maybe the other operation is just taking a while. What's a while? I don't know. A second? An hour? A day? A year? 100 years? What? Who knows? So, I'll just wait. So basically, what you're going to see is that this will just sit here and you'll never advance. So is basically, why is B not resulting deadlock? This option B? Yeah. So the reason is because we won't end up in this situation where one call or one thread has something the other thread is waiting on in both directions. So if B goes first, it'll do B, A, and C in that order. Now C is shared in the sense that both threads are going to try to get C. If B gets there first, that's okay, because B has the three locks it wants, and now it can actually do the operation, and then it will unlock it, and that's fine. B will have started with D, it'll wait on C. The first thread will finish, and then it'll get the lock, and it'll move on, and everything's fine. If D goes first, again, it'll get the lock D, then it will get C, which is shared, but nobody has the lock on E, so that second thread will get the lock on E, be able to continue, and then release all the locks. And so even if B was waiting on C, that's fine. Eventually the lock will come available. So they're still sharing. They just won't ever end up in the situation where they each have something the other wants at the same time. And so that's actually a good hint of how we get out of this. Are there other questions? All right, great. And so what are our options? And what do we do about it? So our first option, which is kind of nice, actually, is just forget sharing. Eh, that's too much complication. So going back to our kitchen, right? So now imagine, you know, you're with your friend, and you just decided, look, we'll just go to the grocery store separately. We'll get two boxes of food, 2 gallons of milk. And now there's no problem, right? You take your resources, they take theirs. Nothing to worry about. So that's one option. Now, not necessarily that practical, because we don't have infinite resources. this case, rather than just sitting there going, well, I hope the lot comes available at some point, we could just return and say, sorry, you can't get it. So if that lock function returns, then we can try to make some alternative arrangements. So we ask our friend for the milk, or whatever, right? We ask for whatever ingredient, the fruity pebbles that we didn't have. And they say, sorry, no. And you go, okay, well, I'll make Cheerios. Maybe that would work, rather than you just sitting there waiting for it to get ready. Now, the problem with that, of course, is what do you do when a resource you want isn't there? That's a hard problem. It's like, I wrote my program to do something. I don't really have a backup. Now, maybe you just retry. And say, okay, well, I couldn't get the lock now, I'll just wait. How long do you wait? You just keep trying? You try forever? You try for five times? Is five the right number? So you kind of end up in this situation where you're just trying to kind of like, well, maybe that'll work. Maybe this will avoid it. Becomes very sort of ad hoc, and then eventually you're going to run your program in a system where that assumption you made or that guess you made isn't correct. And now you have a similar problem, but it's even harder to debug because it's running in a very specific case. Whether you're playing the issue. Okay, we'll get back to this. And finally, the last option is only acquire resources in a very predefined order. And so what this means is essentially we're going to avoid this case where we have this circular restriction. So in our recipe cooking case, we just would make an agreement with our friend and say, look, here's all of the things we ever use. You must ask for them in this order. So if you need milk, that has to come before asking for cereal. Then what happens? So if you two agree on that, now one of you will get the milk first. Now the other's still going to have to wait. Okay, sorry. But the person who got the milk, now the next thing they ask for is the cereal. But that's guaranteed to be available, or it'll eventually become available. Right, and that's the key. It's only when we get those circular requirements that we end up with them. So how do we actually realize this? Well, we need to have some way to make sure. And in the meantime, we need somewhere to store that that order happened. Right? Otherwise, it would just get lost. Right? And so it's very important that we have a buffer, a queue, somewhere to store that while we're waiting. Okay, more technical. Yes, so right, that's what I was just saying. Is that now, if we could perfectly have those be together, right? It took exactly as long to order as it does to make the thing. Well, then we wouldn't really need to store it. Because every time an order came in, we could make it, and before the next order came in, we would finish the food. We don't even need to store another order. But in a lot of cases, in most cases, that's not really the case. We can't guarantee that. We do need some. Okay. Now, the more technical example is like a compilation tool. Right. Pre-processing a file, substituting in macros and whatnot, that might happen very, very quickly. But then that file needs to actually be compiled. And if it's a large file or something, it might take much, much longer. So internally in GCC, it's able to sort of keep track of what it needs to do and what the compiler needs to do after the preprocessor. So just another example. Same idea. Now, looking at this a different way. So that's a very sort of pragmatic kind of the application point. What about from an implementation or the lower level? What does that mean? Will this buffer become shared state? Right, this is now the resource that we have to share. And we want to do it in a safe way so that we're not overwriting anything we add to the queue, and we're not missing anything we're removing from the queue, so we have to do this safely, and we don't have queues of infinite length. Our memory is limited. Eventually it'll fill up. What does that mean? We now have the ingredients for deadline. Possible that we can run into that, and so we need to take precautions using these revision primitives to avoid. Okay. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to use locks, of course. Right, no surprise there. That gives us a sort of access control when we have multiple users. But we need something else, right? It's not just a matter of making sure that we're not overwriting something due to how the threads were scheduled. We also need the consumer to know that we put something in the queue. Right? And this is like something very near and dear to our heart, right? You make an order, you really want the food truck whatever, actually make it. Right? You really hope that they saw that you put that order. You're not just standing there waiting. Right? That's a very important element. So we need that. Well, now to do that, we're going to use what's called a condition tag. So this is another primitive that lets us both wait for events to happen, which is very convenient in our example, right? We can wait for an order to come in, and it lets us notify waiters that something has happened. So we can signal, hey, actually, we do have a new order. You should click that. Package these two ideas together, the locks and the condition variables, and you have a monitor. And so a monitor is basically just the higher level name for combining these primitives, which oftentimes we want both of those functionalities. We want some way to talk about that together, but really it's implemented on top of these underlying things. And so it's not sort of a completely separate. Any questions? Okay. So pick more, a little bit more pictorially here, right? We can think of a monitor as sort of the concatenation of some state, which is useful for our whatever our synchronization food service example, this is sort of an order is ready. The order is in the system. And so if it's a slow period, right, there might be multiple people, let's say in the kitchen, with multiple threads that are waiting on that condition variable to change, meaning an order comes in, right? And so there can be a list of things that are waiting for a particular condition. Now there could be sort of multiple operations, maybe condition variable it, right? And so instead of notifying everything, we commit by one. We'll be specific about what thread should be running, or what thread should be notified that the condition is running. And so we can just remove it from the list and then add it to the list. Question is, with signal, right, if we're not providing a particular thread, which one gets called? And I think that's basically sort of an implementation. A library, a monitor library, may or may not expose some way to select. Or it might just choose the first, or it might choose something arbitrarily. Generally, we're not, this primitive isn't to try to provide that level of ordering, and we'll see a little bit more into why it's hard to actually guarantee ordering in any case. Just that there's, if the semantics are such that it doesn't make sense for all of the threads to be notified, it might just be more performant to say, well, only one is going to be able to continue anyway, that's just only signal. You could imagine, right? You could imagine an extension to this where you could say this. You knew about whatever was left waiting, and you wanted to notify them specifically. Other questions? Our condition variable API here? Now we can start to combine this condition variable block combination provides us with a more powerful API that we can build upon with these simple, or these, maybe simple, not the right word, but underlying primitives. So this code is based on the dthread API. And this is basically implementing a simple version of a model. So ignoring a lot of the initialization and all of that. But we have our state, so we have the lock, right? Very important. We have a Boolean, and this is what we can use for our condition. But if something is finished or not, that will be our condition. And then we have the condition variable that we can use to signal and wait among threads. So we have wait for finish. So one thread is going to call this. Right? This is the consuming thread that's waiting for the event to happen, and then the producing thread would call it. Say, oh, okay, it's done. I'm done. Now, as you can see, what's the first thing? The first line of code. Both cases. Someone shout it out. Take the lock, right? Very, very important. You have to have the lock to access the state. So that's our first thing, right? We can't touch anything until we do that. Okay, next, and this will, if you look at the wait for finish. Now we're going to check, wait, are we done? Because it's possible, right? It's possible, okay, I just finished an order, let me go check and see if another one very similar at this point, right? First statement.